Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministries. My name is Apostle David Callender. I am your host, and the Holy Spirit, as always, is our overseer. And we are grateful to be here this morning. We are grateful that the Lord has allowed us to enter in another day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you, O God, for giving us another day. And we pray, O God, that you will speak to us today through your word, by your spirit, by your servant. We ask, O God, that you would anoint her today to declare and decree what that says the Lord. Holy Spirit, come in this place this morning and move like a consuming fire. Consume us with the glory this morning. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen.
Oh, great.
Be anointed to know your word. In the midst of my triumph, glory. But the Lord God is ordaining peace. He's ordaining peace to be among you, to be with you, to be in your mind, to be in your thoughts. Let it in. Let the peace come in. Yes, yes. Peace of God. The peace past all understanding. I know there's some confusion around me. I know the enemy looks like he's with me. The Lord is saying this morning, I'm giving you a peace that passes all understanding. And my sons and my daughters, this peace shall keep your heart and your mind. It's a keeping peace. It's a peace that holds you together. It's a peace that gives you strength. It's the kind of peace that gives you courage. It's the kind of peace that lifts you up when you're torn down. It's the kind of peace that wipes the tears from your eyes. It's the kind of peace that brings joy, unspeakable joy. Full of the morning glory. So I say to you, peace. Yeah. things I feel like you're broken thunder, shaken to pieces, set up for the wall. But Lord, you know what's best to get us through our test. And we won't rebel as you take us again.
Take us again.
Take us.
Take us again.
We won't despair.
Take us again.
Take death off of my life. Take it out of my spirit, Lord. Only you can. You can strike me again. Early in the morning, before the break of day, take your loving hand and shake me again. Shake me with your glory, bright as the morning sun. Lord, don't forsake me, but shake me again.
Take us again.
Take me.
Take me.
Oh, Lord.
Take us
again. It's not my mother, not my father. It's not my sister, not my brother. But it's me, oh, Lord.
Take
us again.
We just thank the Lord this morning. The wound of God is on early, so we are not going to hold you on here this morning. We are just going to release her into our presence so that she can do what this says the Lord. Father God, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for your servant. Lord, we ask you, O God, to speak through her, touch her lips, anoint her lips, O God. Open her mind to receive, her heart, O God, to release. And Father, we pray this morning, O God, that she would release what thus says the Lord. Lord, oh, God, we ask you, oh, God, to order her footsteps right now, oh, God, that she would walk where you have her to walk. She would speak what you have her to speak, oh, God. Lord, we ask you to anoint her eyes, anoint her ears this morning, oh, God, that she would see and hear, oh, God, what you show her and what you tell her, oh, God. We pray today that she speak even the oracles of heaven, oh, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. Okay, evangelist, the mic is in your hand.
Good morning, Apostle Calendar.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Calendar Resurrection Power Church in Christ this morning. I thank God that I see us here this morning. He's an awesome God.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, God, and we just say thank you that you will cover my life, Father. You are covered.
Yes, Lord.
His tongue gone, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you have all of us covered. And we know, God, that we are blessed because we're here this morning lifting you up, giving you the glory, honor, and praise. And, Father, if there be one that comes to you today, God, allow us to nourish them, oh, God, to a place in their life that they can take and grow and go. And, Lord, we just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If there be one this morning who don't know Jesus, you can come now. You can come to Jesus now. We send you at this time an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. And we're talking about salvation. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But verse 10 tells us, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if you'll just say these words with me right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come now, Lord, just as I am. For it is written in your word that if I shall confess you, Lord Jesus, with my mouth, and believe in my heart, God, that you raised your son Jesus from the dead, I shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And when you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth this morning and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the word says you were saved. So you are saved today. Today, September the 27th, is a new day in your life, and you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. We're not here to deceive you in any kind of way. Troubles, trials, and tribulations will come. But now that you have a comforter, the redeemer, the restorer, the one who gives recompense, you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You are covered under the blood of the Lamb, and you have strength, and you have received power from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to go through these things. And you won't have to try to do them on your own. You now have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We recommend to you today to get your Bible and study your Bible. The Bible consists of 66 books. Study your Bible. Establish a relationship with the Father. And we recommend studying from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel of Acts. We recommend that you start there. This will give you a gospel account of who this Jesus is, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This will give you a gospel account of who he is, his conception, his birth, his life, his burial, his resurrection, the purpose and the plan that God had for his son Jesus, that we might live so that we have the right to the tree of life. That's the purpose and the plan that God has for your life today. We also recommend that you get into a Bible-based church, teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a Bible-based church family in your area that you feel comfortable with going to, Apostle Calendar will accept you here today at Resurrection Power Church in Christ under the authorship of the Holy Ghost. And when you're ready to be weaned away, Apostle Calendar will see you by letter of Christian grace. And the greatest recommendation of all came from Jesus. Jesus recommends that you be baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. So we rejoice with the angels in heaven today as they rejoice over one that accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. The angels say, holy, holy, holy. We say with the angels, holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah to our King this morning. This morning we're talking about the invitations. There are several different types of invitations. You know, you receive all types of invitations. Go to parties, go to bridal showers, wedding parties, engagements, marriages. There's all different types of parties, all different types of invitations that you can receive. And today we want to talk about the invitations. And the invitation that we're talking about is the invitation to come to Jesus, just like you are today. And we'll start this morning with Revelation. We'll start this morning in the book of Revelation in the 3rd chapter. Revelation, the 3rd chapter. This is what John was commanded to write to the angels of the churches of Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So, if verse 1 begins to read, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write these things, says he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent." Here's an invitation for us to hold fast. Here's an invitation for us to repent. And then it says, "If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief." This is Jesus talking. "And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Jesus said they shall walk with him because they are worthy and they have honored his name. And it says in verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." Here's an invitation from Jesus for us to overcome. And we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is saying if we just maintain and we just hold steady, you know, when the ship is on course and the captain gives an order, if a strong wind blows and the rough seas are rough, the captain gives the order to hold your course. And that way he wants them to hold steady. And when he's steering, and when they're steering, the captain says, "Hold steady. Maintain your course. No matter how rough those seas are and how the wind blows and how that ship's getting battered and beaten, if you can just maintain your course." And this is what Jesus is saying to us as the church today. If we'll just hold fast, he extends the invitation to us to hold fast and repent. And what Apostle Callender said to me today, creating the other day, creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit in me. There are going to be some times in our life when some opposition comes in our way, and we're just going to have to maintain course. And our thoughts are impure sometimes, and we're just going to have to say, "Creating me a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit in me." And that's when you know you got to hold fast to that which you have. And Jesus extended that invitation to us. And when we hold fast and when we repent, we can be overcomers and achievers by the blood of the Lamb. What are you trying to achieve? I'm trying to achieve a place in heaven. Heaven is my goal. I don't want to get there to see Jesus and it be sad to me, "Depart from me. I know you're not." But when I see Jesus, I want to be able to say amen. When I see Jesus, I want to know that it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today? Is it well with you? And then it said, it continued to say in verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that opened it and no man shut it, and shut it and no man opened it." This is Jesus giving an invitation to the church. And he's extending this to us to be truthful, to walk sinless. Christ is sinless. And this is what Jesus is saying to us. If we have adapted to his personality, if we have adapted to his way of life, if we have adapted to the way he walks, to the way he talks, then we have a sinless life. We have to begin to rebuke our own thoughts and our own mind. We have to know to be transformed in our minds. And whatever evil thought come up against us, we have to stop right then and give it to Jesus and turn it over to Jesus. And so this is what Jesus said, I know thy works, in verse 8 of the third chapter of Revelation. Jesus said, I know thy works. Behold, said, look, I have set before thee an open door. An open door. Jesus said, the door is open. So there's nothing too hard for God. If he leaves the door open for us to come in at any time, how many of us have went inside and just shut the door on Jesus? He's waiting for you to open the door. But we can go to him. Isn't it good to know that you can go to Jesus any time of day, any time of night, that you can cry out and he'll hear you? He said in verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. He says the door is open. You're worrying about obstacles in your way, but if you look beyond those obstacles, if you just continue to walk, sometimes you might have to just close your eyes and just walk, keep walking straight towards Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. You know, even Peter, when Jesus bid him, Jesus told him to come. Jesus extended an invitation to Peter to come. And when he stepped off the ship and he began to walk toward Jesus, and his eyes were fastened on Jesus. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And Jesus just reached down and picked him up. And he walked with Jesus back to the ship. So you see, because he was in the presence of Jesus, he was able to walk upon those seas. He was able to walk upon the water. And so we have to stay focused. Sometimes when it seems like obstacles and troubles and trials and tribulations are getting in our way and it seems like the doors are closing, here's a mandate from Jesus that said, no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. So you're looking to have much strength. But Jesus said, thou hast a little strength, but you didn't give up. You overcame by the blood of the Lamb. These are they whose names have been written in the book, whose robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And in verse 9 he says, behold, I will make them of thy synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, false professors, liars. See, they have given themselves an invitation to hell. Because Jesus said, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. So if you're not accepting the invitation to walk with Jesus, then you have accepted an invitation to be of the synagogue of Satan. And then he says, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. One of the things that we must know, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus said, I'm going to make them to know this. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But when you spend eternity with Jesus, that's when he says, depart from me. I know you're not. I'd rather live believing that there is a God than live and believe not. And to end up spending my life in an eternal damnation
where the fire never goes out. The worms never stop churning. Just ever-burning flames of fire. Then Jesus said in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Temptation will come. But Jesus is a divine keeper. He is a keeper. And he's giving you a path. He's giving you a path that goes beyond temptation. You'll walk right by. He said he'll take that temptation away from you. And he says, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So now see, this lets us know that anybody say that they are not tempted, never been tempted, verse 9 says they are liars. They are liars. Verse 10 says to try them that dwell upon the earth. It says all the world. That means none are exempt. We're all included, and temptation will come. But Jesus said he will keep us from that hour of temptation. And verse 11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Again, here it is again. Jesus told us when we first started reading, he told us to hold fast in verse 3. And again, Jesus said, he said again in verse 11, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Jesus has given us an invitation to keep our crown. Maintain it, to hold on to it. Don't lose it and don't let go. Don't let the lust of the flesh take your crown from you. We can't afford to allow the lust of the flesh. We can't afford to allow temptation to come. And when Jesus, how do you know that Jesus is keeping you from this temptation? Because there's something inside of you called a conscience. And your conscience will lead you. If you listen to it, your conscience will guide you. And your conscience will tell you right from wrong. We don't always have to stop and ask somebody, what do you think about this? You have a conscience. You belong to God. And he's already giving you that thing which you know. And he says in verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, of his Father, the spiritual temple, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. I love this. Jesus said, I will write upon him the name of my God. We got to live our life so that you don't have to announce and acknowledge who you are, but men will know you by the life you live. They will know you by just your stature and the way you walk, the way you talk. Your countenance will change, and they will know you. Jesus said you have a new name. And he said, and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven, and he has a seal upon us. The saints of God has a seal. That seal is the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, come down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And then he said that, and he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the church. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, Jesus said, write, these things said, amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Here again, Jesus is extending up an invitation to be faithful and to be true. We are accountable in our walk with the Father. The Word of God teaches us they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Are you faithful you know, don't just think that you can be faithful to God and not be faithful to your husband or your wife because it don't line up. If you're not faithful to your husband or your wife, if you're not faithful to your commitment, then you're not faithful to God. Mm. So he says to the faithful and true, there's no way to live part of your life holy and the other part unholy. It's all or nothing with Jesus. There's no 50 and 50. You know, in some marriages I hear people say it's 50-50. Well, it should be 100-100 and not 50-50. You give your best. Each one of you, when you give your best, there's not a juggling. And there's no wear and tear. But you give the best that God gives you. And when you give your best, you are honoring God because God wants the best. And this is why God denied Cain's offering. But you just can't think you can just live your life any kind of way and still think that you're walking in an upright stature with God. And so Jesus has given us an invitation to be faithful and true. Verse 15 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert not worth cold or hot. So Jesus is saying to the backsliders, he's giving you an invitation today. Make a choice. He said, don't be lukewarm. This is an invitation for you to make a choice whether you be hot or whether you want to be cold, whether you want to walk with me or whether you want to walk with Satan. It's your choice. Choose Jesus or choose the world. So Jesus said, you can't have it both ways now. It's all or nothing. You can't have it in the way you want it. You got to live for Jesus. You got to walk for Jesus. You got to walk with Jesus. You can't walk by yourself. And I'm so glad that the Lord showed me that every step I take, he's with me. I'm walking with Jesus every day. I'm talking with Jesus. When I rise up in the morning, know that he rises up inside of you. Why? Because he abides in you. So when you lay down at night, he's resting with you. When you get up in the morning, he's rising up inside of you. Verse 16 says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich. Jesus said there's an indifference here. And as a seed, darkness cannot comprehend the light, and the light won't comprehend the darkness. Let's say it that way. Light won't comprehend the darkness. If you're walking with Jesus, and when those evil things come against you, they will comprehend it not. Because they can't penetrate you when you're walking with Jesus. Yes, those temptations will come, but Jesus gave us an invitation, and he told us that he would shield us from those that our temptation. And verse 17 said, because thou sayest, I am rich, your self-righteousness, and increase with good, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, you have put your faith in your earthly treasures. And this is what Jesus is saying to us. When you say these things, when you self-exalt yourself, Jesus says you're building up your own self-righteousness. You're putting your trust in earthly treasures. You have this worldly fullness in your spiritual pride, your self-deception, spiritual destitution that you're walking in. So when you have this spiritual pride that, you know, no man can touch you, that you can't be touched, Jesus is saying, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. Who are you? You know, we have these personalities conflict. One day we wake up in the morning and we're all about Jesus. About noonday, you know, our personalities have switched over. Now some of us are not just bipolar, we tripolar. You know, we are not to so many personalities, we don't know, even know who we are ourselves. So, do you think Jesus knows you? You got to stop adapting to everything of the world, to all these different types of personalities. They are not yours. That may work for them, but it may not work for you. I love my apostle spirit. I love Apostle Calvin, but I can't walk in Apostle Calvin's way. He has to walk in the way God teaches him. He's teaching me the way. But I have to adapt to the way of the spirit, the way that the Lord shows me, that he teaches me and he guides me. So truly, naturally, it is natural for us to form an adaptation after our parents. Surely we want, oh, which child don't want to be like their parents? Which child don't want to conform to the way that their parents are? I want to be like my daddy. I want to be like my mama. But we got to be like Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
We got to be like Jesus. We got to think about it. You know, who are you? So Jesus said, depart from me. I don't know you. And he's giving you an invitation to hold fast. Because that worked for them over there. But do you really know how they're living? Do you really know how they got that house? Do you really know behind closed doors that they're crying out worse than you, wondering how they're going to pay their next mortgage? You see, we got to seek Jesus before we go out and do these things. I used to worry about that. I used to wonder, my God, these people building all these castles and mansions around me, in our community. Here I am in this little old house, little nice clean house. But my goodness, what these people building all around me. There's doctors, there's lawyers, there's pastors. There's all these people, and I'm just a little old bitty person. You know, I'm thinking, wow. But not knowing that, I'm surrounded by God. God has all these pastors around me, all these teachers and leaders and all these different people. But then when you get behind closed doors, what is really going on? So you got to be careful as to seeking after man. Jesus gave us an invitation to seek after him. Verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me. This is Jesus, the same Jesus I'm talking about that we need to seek after. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. This is Jesus. He says, gold tried in the fire. I am that thou, verse 18, that thou mayest be rich. And he's talking about the spiritual riches. Jesus is not talking about these earthly riches that we were talking about. He's talking about in the spirit. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Don't you know that Jesus will cover you? Some, you may have spiritual riches. You may not have the riches of this land. You know, they sing that song, some folks would rather have houses and land. Some folks choose silver and gold. But then the songwriter said, but these things they treasure. And the songwriter also says, I've decided to make Jesus my choice. So the invitation today, you'll have to make your choice. It's an open invitation. Jesus said, I leave the door open, and no man can shut it. It's an open invitation. You can come just like you are. And Jesus said, the door is open. Come. But we keep reading. It says, and that the shame of thy nakedness, when the bottom of verse 18 of the third chapter of Revelation, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Jesus says, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to give you a spiritual vision so that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. A lot of us don't want to be chastised. You know, we think it's okay. We think we too big, we too grown to be chastised. I'm grown.
Oh, you can't tell me what to do because I'm grown. Okay. You're going to be grown in hell because you, there is some spiritual chastisement that has to go forth. There are going to be some ways I've been chastised right here, Resurrection Power Church in Christ. And Apostle Callum don't have no shame, and he'll let us know. I don't mean to rebuke you, but you know what I say? I say go for it. Because that's the only way that we're going to know that we don't keep doing these things repetitiously, and we keep doing them, and we keep thinking that we're doing right. The Word of God tells us there are ways that seem is right unto a man. It may seem right, but you're going to need some spiritual chastisement along the way. And Jesus said, all have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. So that being said, all of us will need some spiritual chastisement. And then he said in verse 18, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. As we said earlier when we started, how many of us just goes into, you know, we unlock the sanctuaries on Wednesday nights, and let's just go with Sunday. We unlock the doors on Sunday, and all the people come in, and we shut the doors, and we begin to sing hallelujah and praise God, run around all over the place, but is Jesus in it? Jesus says, I'm standing at the door knocking. You don't close the doors, and you in there doing your own thing, but you left Jesus on the outside. He's standing on the outside looking in, and he's knocking, trying to get in to your service. Why? Because your hearts are hard. Your mind hasn't been transformed. So many times we say, you know, even yesterday when I was singing that song, Thank You, Holy Spirit, I thought my phone was on mute. And I heard the apostle say, come on in the room. But when the apostle gave forth that prophecy, and he told the deaconess to tell the young lady that he was already in the room, to don't have no fear, that peace will come upon her. And that song just dropped in my spirit, come on in the room. And my spirit was saying, he's already in the room. And the apostle said, he's already in the room. See, when we have Christ, when we go in, he goes in with us. There's no need to go in with your self-righteousness and your uplifted pride, because when you walk in self-righteousness and your high-mindedness and your spiritual pride, you just dump Jesus on the outside. So you have to get rid of that. When Jesus chastises us, he's getting rid of that spiritual pride. Yes, we all have had it. Some of us still have it. And we still need some working on. We still need some shading. And what Jesus is doing, he brings us to a place so that others can receive him. Because we feel like, oh, I done received Jesus Christ in my life. I got it. But, you know, we're too ignorant to allow Jesus to work in our life, that others may come to him. And Jesus says, I'm standing at the door knocking. And then Jesus said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, he's talking about your spiritual heart, not that wooden door, not that building, that door that's on that building, but when you go in, we're talking about getting rid of that spiritual pride. We're talking about the invitation of Jesus Christ, the invitation of your heart. Open up your mind, open up your heart, and let him in. Allow Jesus to come in. There are sometimes, you know, we talk about people sometimes, we'll say, my God, they go to that altar every Sunday. What is it that they keep going to every Sunday when the doors of the church open, they at that altar? You know, we just, some people may not understand, and instead of us talking about them, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be going to them. So when that invitation comes, they got to understand that it's their hearts and their minds that have to be open to Jesus Christ. It's easy for us to say the doors of the church is open and people come to receive the invitation. But that's not the open door that Jesus is talking about. We get up there and we say the doors of the church is open, extend the invitation for them to come to Jesus Christ, extend the invitation for them to join the church. But
the church that they're joining is the body of Christ. Jesus said he will add to his church. He will give the increase. And when we learn to teach them, that's why we need teaching. That's why we need training. When these newcomers come in and we wonder where they go when they get up there and join church, because they don't understand. So when we give that invitation, you know, people, and I wrote this on my page the other day, and I'm not ashamed because I thought about it. People have all these life events, family members, whoever, and they invite everybody around you, but they don't invite you. But as soon as something, some tragic happens, or death comes,
they'll come
for you. But they won't invite you to no life event.
My Lord.
As soon as tragedy or death comes, you know, here we go. You know, I feel like this. If you didn't invite me to your life event, I don't need to be coming there and you gone. You're sleeping. What difference will it make? I give my respect to God. I give my respect to the family. But a lot of these things we do is just for a show. I'm not in this for a show. I'm in this for life. This is because of Jesus and because he lives in me. Yes, we know who we are. But one of the things that I recognize and I realize, and my son told me this one time, he says, Mama, I never bought anybody around you. My son would have all kinds of things. And my aunt passed away, and I understand what my son was saying to me. He says, Mama, I never bought anybody around you. And he didn't. My son was grown, and he, I don't care whatever went on, he never invited his friends, his girlfriends, or none of that. Even when he got married, I didn't even know that my son had gotten married. He didn't even bring his wife to my house for almost a year or so. He said, Mama, because of the life that I was living and the lifestyle that I was living, he said, I thought I better not bring them around you. And he says, I love you with all my heart. He says, but if anything had happened, Mama, you need to understand the first place they would have looked was at your house for me. You see, he was doing trafficking and all these kinds of different things. I didn't even know those things. I didn't even know that he'd been out of these countries doing any of this stuff. So there are times in our life where we want to be invited to things that we shouldn't be invited to because they are not of Christ. And I heard the apostle saying this, and it's been a while back. I haven't heard it said in a while. Don't think that because you won and you've been converted that you can go amongst all those heathens and remain the same. Apostle used to say that when God changed us, don't try to go back out there in that club and stuff by yourself. You don't come out of the club. Don't try to go back in there by yourself because there's going to be a whole lot of temptation. You better know who you are for sure. You better know that you know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that the way you go in is the way you can come out. So this is what Jesus is doing. He's extending that invitation to us. And my aunt would always say, she says, I wonder why they never invite me to anything. And this went on for years, years, years. And one day I found out that there was a lot of drinking going on, a lot of party, a lot of smoking, a whole lot of things that was going on, cursing, foul languages and stuff, at these family events. And my aunt was saved. She was a born-again person. But they never invited her to anything. And she would sit there, and we would go over, and she would be crying, wondering why the family never invites her to anything. And one day, the Lord allowed me to understand. So these invitations, there are some invitations that we don't need to receive. But this invitation from Jesus Christ, he's inviting us to remain faithful. He's inviting us to remain truthful. He's inviting us to be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. He's inviting us to hold fast to which thou hast. And he said in verse 21 of the third chapter of Revelation, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in the throne, my God. You see, Jesus said he even overcame. Jesus had to come down and walk in this earth. He had to walk amongst men. The same Jesus who's 100% God, 100% man, he had to come down himself. And he walked in this earth, and he overcame by his blood. His blood was shed. He overcame by his blood. The Father gave himself to us through his Son Jesus, that we might live and that we might know him, that we might accept him. And Jesus gave us an invitation to repent. And verse 22 says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Then in 1 Peter and the first chapter, and I'm coming to a close. 1 Peter was telling us about a living hope centered in the resurrection of Christ. An incorruptible and fadeless in our inheritance. See, our inheritance, it won't go away. It won't fade. I meant fadeless. It won't go away. Our inheritance holds true when we accept the invitation to repent, when we accept the invitation to remain faithful, when we accept the invitation to hold fast, be steadfast, unmovable, be unshakable, abounding in the word of the Lord, not only in his word, but in his works. It will be thou faithful unto death. We got to be faithful. I want to be in that number. When he calls me, I want to be in that number. I want to see Jesus. When he called my name, I want to answer when the roll is called. You know, they sing the song, oh, just look at the people. They say, oh, just look at the people. Standing at the judgment, got to be tried. But I want to be in the number that when he calls me, I want to see Jesus. The songwriter says, when all of God's children get together, what a time. So when all of God's children get together, we're going to have a victorious time. And this is what 1 Peter was saying, a divine power by which saints are kept victorious in the midst of suffering through faith. And Jesus gave us that invitation through faith. Rejoicing in trials, Jesus gave us the invitation to hold fast. When he says hold fast, there are going to be some trials, some tribulations that's going to come. Jesus gave us that invitation, coming forth as gold refined in the fire at Christ's appearing. Jesus gave us that invitation, the same thing that Peter is talking about. Jesus gave us that invitation to be like gold tried in the fire. You see, before gold shines bright, it has to go through a process. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were tried, but they came out of the fire. Because why? They held fast. They were unshakable. They were unmovable. They stood on the promise of God. They held fast to which they had. And this is what Jesus said, hold fast to which thou hast. Nobody even knew that they had even been in a fiery furnace. You couldn't tell their hair didn't stink, their clothes didn't stink, didn't have the stench of smoke on them or fire. Because why? Jesus was in the fire walking with them. So when you're going through the fire, Jesus is in the fire furnace with you. He's in there. He says that temptation that come up against you, I will blot it out from you. If you trust him, if you just walk with Jesus, And if you can go through some storms, if you can go through some trials, if you can go through some tribulations, Daniel, when the king threw him in the lion's den, you know, sometimes we got to be careful about what we say because people will try to hold us to it. And if you said something that you shouldn't have said, you have to repent. But some people just won't let go. They'll try to hold you to your word because they say your word is your bond, but you got to know who Jesus is in your life. And you got to make that devil out of a liar. And so the king had to hold fast to his decree. And it hurt him that he had to throw Daniel in there. And I can't even begin to imagine, you know, when I read the story, it's just like the king rising up. He's running. He's running to the lion's den. And he's calling Daniel's name. He's calling Daniel's name. He told Daniel, I know your God will keep you. So he's running, and he's calling Daniel's name, oh, Daniel, oh, Daniel. And Daniel answered him back. Don't you know that had to be amazing, an amazing relief, because it was the king who wrote the decree. But we, from our King Jesus, we have an invitation, and we have a decree from him that we can have eternal life. He wrote the decree that we can have eternal life. If we receive him, if we repent, he gave us that invitation to repent and come before him. Make your choice. He said, don't be lukewarm. He says, I don't want you that way. I don't want you unstable. I need you to know who you are. You got to know who you are. You got to be unshakable. You got to be steadfast. The same thing that Peter was telling us, the same thing Jesus told us. So we have to hear Apostle Callender. We have to hear Evangelist Baxter. We have to hear Deaconess Keisha. We have to hear Trustee Kiet. We have to hear Evangelist Sharif. These people who God allowed Apostle Callender to come on and teach and preach the word of God. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, so that you might be saved, and it's not all about you. There are some who are coming for times such as now that you'll be able to speak a word into their life. You got to be able to speak a word, a true word, a living word, a word that will give life. So that when you walk by the room, that healing take place. Your shadows, there's healing in your shadows. There's victories in your shadows. There's miracles in your shadows. The way you walk, the way you talk, just a kind hello, a kind good morning, that will release some chains in people's lives. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is inside of you. When you release that, that Spirit transferred to them. So we need to understand, and that's a subject for another day, the transferring of the Spirit and how the Spirit works. But Jesus given us an invitation. He's transferring his life, so that we can have life. God made a spiritual deposit into Mary, a spiritual deposit. And that spiritual deposit took on flesh so that we might have the right to the tree of life. Peter went on to tell us, concerning which the prophets have inquired, foretelling Christ's suffering and the glory that should be revealed in the later time, a wonder to angels. It calls for soberness, obedience, unworldliness, purity, and godly reverence on the part of the believers. See, Peter is giving us this invitation in First Peter, the first chapter, and we're at the 13 and 17 verse now. Jesus, Peter is saying that it's going to take these things. You got to be sober. You got to walk in obedience. Here's an invitation. You got to be unworldliness. There's an invitation. There's an invitation to purity. There's an invitation to unity. There's an invitation for you to walk upright and to have godly reverence. Who do you reverence in your life? Our Father in heaven. On the part of the believers, Peter is saying. Peter is saying it was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And you see, we have to be purified and regenerated. We have to be purified and regenerated. Let me read this to you. First Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to read the 18th through the 25th verse. First Peter, first chapter, 18th through the 25th verse. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Ha! The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So Peter is telling you, he's giving an invitation for you to stand on the word of God. The same invitation that Jesus gave to you. Hold fast and know that it was preordained before the foundation of the world, that if we know him, know that we'll be purified through the agency of the eternal truth and the manifesting of brotherly love. When a person comes to Jesus and they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, and they're born again, and we say that the doors of church is open, and we extend this invitation, it's an invitation to come to Jesus. Open up your heart and let him in, and you can have new life today, new wine, new life. It is because of Jesus that he lives, and he lives in me. Does he live in you today? It is Jesus. There's an invitation before you today, an open invitation, and the invitation is still open. Apostle Calendar, Father, in the name
thank
of Jesus,
you so much.
Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the release of your word. And Lord, we know that your word shall not return void. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Evangelist. We just bless the Lord for you. We thank the Lord for that rhema word, a word that only came from God. My God, invitations. The invitations, and I like where you started out that your service this morning. The service this morning is that there's many different types of invitations, and we recognize that as we go forth each day, we see there's many different types of invitations. Father God, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for the woman of God, for your servant, for your child, for the word that she has released out of her heart, O God, not out of her belly, but out of her heart, O God, for your people. And Father, we pray that even as the word went forth, we know that the word has gone forth to the four corners of the world, and it will not return void because it's your word. And you said it, O God, that it will not return void, but it will accomplish what you sent it to do. We pray that, Father God, that you will refill her right now
God, let the oil of heaven that bring transformation, that bring restoration, that bring renewal, God, just begin to soak in her pores right now. God, begin to soak through her pores from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. God, begin to soak her right now. Give her a fresh soaking in that oil that only comes from you, oh God. I pray that today, oh God, that you will begin to fill her right now, God, with fresh anointing, with fresh revelation, oh God, with fresh wisdom and knowledge, oh God. Oh God, by your spirit right now, God, do it right now, Lord Jesus. We pray that, God, that those that heard the word, oh God, that listened to the word did not just listen, but they heard the word, oh God. God, and they'll take this word and run with it, oh God. Now the word becomes their word. Hallelujah. And they'll begin to share this word, oh God, and begin to feast on it, oh God. Last night when I just plugged in the iPad and begin to listen to a service. And, oh, my God, I had to listen all the way through. I was just so blessed. The Lord is just blessing us. I just thank God for you, woman of God. I thank God for all you evangelists and trustees and deaconess and all the lay people of God. I just thank God for all you all that come on and make this line possible. Make this line possible. You know, I was on the line sometime some weeks back, and I gave some person a prophetic word, and the word I know was from the Lord, because I don't even try. You'll see that I don't do things on my own. A lot of people run to preach. I don't run. Our people run to teach. I don't run. I wait till God says, your turn. And I gave this person a prophetic word, and the person got upset with me and said it wasn't from God. So I just said, look, you know, instead of not wanting to have an argument with her, because the Bible says the word of God is not for argument. You don't argue with the word of God. The word of God does its own convicting. You don't have to rush with nobody and fight with nobody over the God of the word. All you got to do is, if God speak to you, release it and leave it alone. The word will do what it needs to do. People are going to get mad at you anywhere, going to get mad at us anywhere. But God's word is going to do what only the word can do. He said it's not going to return void. It doesn't matter how they come at you when you release that invitation, when you said a broken vessel. It doesn't matter when you say that you got the fire. It doesn't matter. They're going to get mad. But guess what? The word of God going to do what it said. You know, the woman, she's sending me invitations all the time now. That's where this word came from. She is sending me invitations all the time now to come back on the line, because the word of God has just got her on fire. Listen to me, even her husband, the word of God is just grabbing her, and she can't make it right. She can't pick up the phone and call me and say, Apostle, I made an error. I said something I shouldn't have said, because it was so deep that even her husband had to call me and tell me. You know, my wife said this and say that. I said, well, praise God. That's what she feels. She's the one losing out, because guess what? I'm walking that path. I'm not perfect, but I'm walking that path. And if that's why I said, when people come and say, Pastor, can I pray for you? Sure, you can pray for me. I need prayer. I got stuff happening. I want stuff to stop. Yeah, don't get too high and mighty and think when somebody speak a word over you, you get bad. I am not going to receive that word. That's not God. Guess what? You miss up what God is saying. You don't know who God's speaking to. God speaks to a donkey. Yeah, I'm not going to receive that, because she's not a woman of God. He's not a man of God. She shouldn't be even preaching. He shouldn't be preaching. All this stuff. You miss out on God. It's an invitation. God uses whoever he wants to. You know, the very snake that was scared of God, to use a snake and run you right into church house. He's a waiter. He can do anything he wants to. But we got to be willing, and I like what you say, not only receive the invitation, but you have to go. You know, you send people invitation in the mail. Listen to me. I ain't going to preach the message because she preached well. Guess what? You're sending invitation, inviting people to the party, you know, to the banquet. If Jesus did it, did you say it? Jesus did it, and folk don't have excuse why they can't come to the invitation. Right. They go every place else. They go every place else, but they'll have an excuse when you say the Lord wants to talk to you. No, God don't want to talk to me. That's what they tell you to your face. I told this man in the church, I said, the Lord wants to fill you with his spirit. The man looked at me and said, no, I don't need that. He told me he refused God's spirit. When God told me he wanted to fill him with the Holy Ghost, he said, no, I don't need that stuff. I couldn't believe it. Folk will go every place, says, but when the invitation of heaven comes to them, they say no. Because guess what? I got any things I want to do. We don't know if tomorrow's not promised to anybody. To anybody. You see the man that just sat in the plane. The plane had to touch down on emergency. The pilot was having a heart attack. And the co-pilot had to start driving the plane. And he touched on the plane in near state. And guess what? They rushed him to the hospital. He thought he was going to live to make the flight the following day or even later in the night. Guess what? He died on the way to the hospital. Tomorrow's promise to nobody. I'm telling you, while you begin to live this thing, you better live this thing every day like it's your last day. And don't think that you can slip and dip and jump how you feel like. You better live this thing because God has made an invitation. Listen, if you never hear anything before, this is it. God is making an invitation to us today to live right. That's the invitation, to live right, to please him, to bring glory to his name. Because folk is watching us and we're stopping. Oh, my God, imagine, I pre-celebrate. Listen, we are living our life and causing people not to come to God. Because folk are looking at us and they don't see no light shining. They don't see no good works.
That's right.
They don't see no good works, God. They're looking at us. God, we're preaching and we're teaching and we're jumping and shouting and we're singing and dancing, but we're not living it. God is saying, no, you need to get to a place where you begin to live. Oh, my God, I feel the power. Listen, we got to get to a place where we start to live the invitation. We're not only walking around with the invitation in our hands, but we must live it. You hear what I'm saying? We're not just walking around with the invitation in our hands. We must live it. Because this is Jesus. Jesus called that. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, let your work, your light so shine that man will see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. That's your invitation. Don't you know that? Because people are looking at you. They're looking at me. They say, well, I don't know. He called himself an apostle. I don't know who anointed him. Because he's sure not walking like an apostle. You just say the wrong thing to him. Just pick up his middle finger. Oh, my God. Don't you know people are watching you? I had to put a tag on the back of my car so I don't cuss. It stopped me for years and years. I had to put a tag on my car. And it straightened my mouth. Because every time I want to say something wrong or do something wrong, I remember. God said, remember, you got a tag on the back of your car that says you belongs to me. Hallelujah. I had to do that for me. And it straightened my life up. Because I have an invitation. And I know that people are watching me. Oh, my God. I used to run here and run there. I stopped running there and running there because white people are watching me. All in my neighborhood, I may be in the, right where I live, I'm probably like a speck in the neighborhood. Hallelujah. But everybody in this neighborhood respect me when I walk out. When I walk out with that little dog, she's going to soon come in here because when it gets to a certain time, she come in the room. And listen, when I walk that little dog out, my granddaughter's dog, that everybody say, how you doing, sir? How you doing, sir? Why? Because they're reading me. They see me come out sometimes with my priest collar. Sometimes I got a robe out if I want to take a picture. And they're watching you. So your invitation is that you got to let it shine. Let it shine. The people reading. Hallelujah. You think, well, I got the collar on. I'm okay. But guess what? They're reading you. They're reading your invitation. Don't you know they can see your invitation? They're reading to see if you really who you said you are. Because that's what the invitation is saying something. The invitation is saying that you belong to God. But are you really walking as a person that belongs to God? Something to think about. I want to open the line right now. We got a lot of time. I want you all to come on and preach and talk and say everything. Don't forget to pray for Keisha. She's at the doctor. I got a text message from her. I know she was going in this morning, but the Lord told me to tell her this morning that all is well. It doesn't matter. They're checking her blood. They're checking her urine. Just all they're doing is monitor to make sure that everything's going well. She's not sick or anything like that, but she just monitor her. But I tell her everything. Already God said, it's well. Don't worry about it, dog. Just go and let it be done. And, you know, because it's well. And once you get it well with my soul, hallelujah. That's what, you know, sometimes I think that's a problem that's wrong with us. We don't receive the invitation the way we're supposed to. We just take it candidly. Oh, that's just a word from the Lord. I'm not worried about that. That's how we receive it. And God says, well with your soul. It doesn't matter what your body feels like. I'm still well with my soul. It's still, my body might feel like it's breaking the arm, my God, but it's still well with my soul. The boss man might say, look, I'm going to deduct some days from you. You're only going to work 3 days a week instead of 5 days. It's well with my soul, huh? Because God said he's going to fill in the other 2 days. Huh? It's well with my soul. You got to always see it's well with your soul. Hallelujah. My wife is acting a fool, but it's well with my soul. I'm not going to let that take me up the presence of the Lord. My husband's acting a fool, but it's well with my soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's well, it's well, it's well. I got the invitation. See, I thank you so much. I thank you so much, Evangelist. Yo, you make me want to preach. You, Evangelist, you Lord. You guys, you know how to make the pastor want to preach. My son is showing some pictures on Facebook. He's showing off himself. He cut his hair. He got a little hair. I want my granddaughter to send me some of that hair. She got so much hair. Oh, my God. She got hair all down her shoulders, all down her shoulders. Just so beautiful. Oh, my God. Yes, I'm posting this thing. You see Jessica Lee? That's his girlfriend. But my granddaughter, her name is Samoa. She is just so gorgeous, like a little movie star. She ain't got my look. She got her grandmother look. Ah, she's just so beautiful. But I thank God for the word today. I thank God. I truly bless the Lord for this word. I don't know if we're going to have a speaker on tomorrow. We are trying to work on that to see what's going on because I haven't got anything yet. But if we're not here, if we don't get a speaker, we are coming to do something because something got to go. I'm not going to miss out another Saturday. Anyway, the line is open right now. I'm going to see if my daughter's coming down the stage. She ain't coming down the stage yet. Anyway, the line is open right now.
God bless you, Pastor Callender.
Go ahead.
Giving honor to the Spirit of Christ, to you, to First Lady Callender, to Evangelist Campbell, to all of you. Thank God for another day. I heard you said about that pilot. Can't even make his destination. That's right. We got to live like today's the last day. But I thank God for the Word of God and as well. With our soul, as well as my soul. So I just thank God for this line. It's encouraging. It gives us the strength to go on. No matter what it looks like, God is. He's still blessing us.
Yes.
So I thank the Lord for that. And it's almost another week on. September's almost out of here. Time is rolling. We got to know for sure that we belong to Him. So I just thank the Lord for the word. Coming from the woman of God, be encouraged and do what we can for God. That's all we can do.
Yes.
And be encouraging one another and pray for one another. I'm praying for my sister that she would get stable in one spot. She goes to these places with her boyfriend, and one minute you stay for 2 minutes, next minute the people kick you out. And I'm saying you're 58 years old, you have to get yourself stabilized, honey. You know?
Yes,
you got to get busy.
Yes.
So, but I'm praying for my sister, and I'm praying for those that don't know God. Praying that we can just be on one accord and love people where they're at. Because some folks don't believe that there's a Jesus. And the only way we're going to see this through us. So I'm happy again to know that I'm in land of the living and giving Him praise in Jesus' name. In spite of what it looks like, it's God's world. And I'm going to bless Him. The devil won't steal my praise. He won't steal my joy.
That's
and I
right.
love you guys. Because we've got to press our way through the blessings. Thank
yes,
God.
Yes. My.
Encourage.
Jesus.
Pastor's already preaching. I ain't getting my Holy Ghost cranked up. Let us say no to that.
You got it. I feel the fire right now. You're walking in the fire. I feel the fire.
Yes,
You're walking in the fire.
Yes, sir. I'm coming out as pure gold.
Yes, Lord.
Thank God.
Yes, we thank God, we thank God. You know, the word of God is so rich that when you begin to feast at His table, something happens. You know, I can't do less than get at His table. I got to get at God's table every day, every single day. And some people, they come on. I don't know if it's the phone or what. Yesterday we had 22 people on the line. I don't know. But you have to be willing and ready for God's word, and it don't care who is releasing the word. Just stop. I don't care if God sent a cat around the corner to bring the food. I'm gonna eat. I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna eat. I'm not gonna act all like I got it together. And I don't, you know, see people go to church and it just behooves me how people just say, well, I don't want to hear her, I don't want to hear him, I don't want to hear that buddy. Man, like, you can tell God who to bring the word. You can't tell God. God does what He wants to do. You know, He does what He wants to do. If He wants to walk on water, He'll walk on water. If He wants to fly through the sky, He'll fly through the sky. My God, if He wants to just run across, He does what He wants to. That's God, I'm telling you. That's God. He's mighty, and He is mighty in battle. I'm telling you, people of God, you better get your, you better receive your invitation and make a determination that, yes, Lord, you're going to do what that says the Lord. Because, listen, don't let somebody cause you to lose your crown through foolishness. Don't let somebody cause you to lose your crown. And I told you already, I prayed last couple of years ago. God gave me a word. Evangelist, you can remember this. God gave us a word a couple of years ago to pray to God to move foolish people out of your life. You say, oh, that's a high. No. You, in the Bible, you have to go in there. You have to pray. God, move foolish people, wicked people, foolish people out of your life. They don't want your God. They don't want to see you grow. They don't want to see you walk with God. They'll distract you, they'll deceive you, they'll delay you, and they will try to destroy you because you get in position and places that, my God, you can lose your life going with the wrong people, the wrong place. You think they're the right people because they do this and do that for you. And some don't even able to do what you think they should be doing for you. But you go with them. God said, move them out your life. Pray, get them out your life. Yes. I want to open the line again. I see my daughter. She's on the line there. Come on. The line is open. She ain't get downstairs yet, though. The line is open. We thank the Lord. We truly thank the Lord for the word of God, for the power of God that's here. You know, we have to get really serious. I don't know about you all, but I am serious. I see God doing great things through us and with us. I see God bringing change where it looked like it couldn't be any change. But he is doing change. He's making change. God is making a difference in the lives of the people that really want to be close to him. If you really want to be close to God, you'll make an effort. You'll make an effort to be close to him. I'm doing everything that I can to stay abreast with God. I need God. I need him in my life. I need him to help me to achieve the things that he has called me to achieve. I can't achieve them on my own. I need him. I want to open the line. The line is open for anyone that has a word they want to share.
Good morning, Apostle.
There she is. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Evangelist Campbell and to all on the line.
Good morning.
You know, I got up this morning, and my daughter Zaria wasn't feeling too well from last night. And I said, all right, I'll go in and I'll do what I can, and I'll continue to press on through the day. And not many know my situation with my daughters. And I don't mind to share because we're family. And with my daughters, by rights, many years ago, me and my mother got into a little dispute, so I don't have rights to them, but I still take care of them. And I got up and I said, I'm going to do what I have to do to go forth and still get things going. And my mom says to me this morning, you take Zaria to the hospital. I said, Mom, can you take her? Because I lost so much time from Noah when he was sick the week before. I have to make up. I don't complain about my work, as I tell everybody, because I love my job. I love it. I do not complain about it because many of us do not have a job. So why complain? You just press forward and you do what you got to do. As long as they give you the time, you press until you reach to that success. So I do not complain. So I got up and I said, all right, I'm going to do what I have to do. And, you know, even when I asked if she could take them, the answer was, if I take them, we won't have a roof over our head. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to do as I always do. I just got off of work. I'm going to drive her down to Children's Hospital. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to let this hinder me because I'm going to keep on pressing. because I know as much as I press, God is right there with me, and there's something around the corner waiting for me. And even if there's nothing around the corner waiting for me, I'm still going to press. I'm going to press my way through it, and I'm going to praise my way through it, because God is always great, and he's always been there, and he hasn't failed me, and he will not fail me. And I accept all invitations that he is giving me. I'm not going to let the devil sit here and have joy in my heart or in my life. I'm going to keep on pressing. I may not have rights, but I am still their birth mother, and I still have to do, and I always end up doing. So I'm going to continue to press on and continue to keep on pushing on, because I know when I touch that hem, I shall and I will be complete. At the end and through it all, I will be complete. As Bishop always says, let your praise be your exit. So I am going to praise my way through. I'm not going to let anything get in my way or hinder me. I thank God for the boss that I have, because she was a single mother to raise her daughter. So when I went in the office and explained everything to her, she says to me, Sherita, just let me know how everything works out. I told her I will correspond with her via email. She says, all right. She says, I don't know how you do it with four kids, much less one. I said, God knows why he does and what he does. I don't question him. I just continue to go forth. So, you know, I just have to say, no matter what we're going through, as hard as it may seem, as gray as it may seem, still praise. Still praise. Because when all the praises go up, blessings definitely come down. And you may not see the blessings today, tomorrow, next week, but the blessings will be right on time. Because he's always a right on time God. They will be right on time. I just thank you for waking me up, waking us all up to live to see another day. And I'm glad that he hasn't called us home, because he's not ready for us yet. Because our mission isn't complete. So I just have to say, let us continue to rejoice and give thanks for another day. And may we all continue to have a blessed day in the Lord. And Evangelist Cam, thank you for that powerful word. I really thank you. And may God continue to bless you and bless all of us. May we have a blessed day in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, woman of God. Let me give you a word that my pastor gave me many years ago. And this is a very simple prophetic word. You may not see it, but I didn't get it till later. And she said to me, oh, I had two pastors, Pastor Crosby Bonner and Pastor Rose Bonner, husband and wife. And she always used to say, son, if you remain flexible, you wouldn't get bent out of shape. I'm telling you now, daughter, remain flexible. You'll not get bent out of shape. Do you hear what I'm saying? Other words, if you continue to walk with God, people, family members, people, and things will not be able to take you out of your walk. Okay, because that's what the enemy is trying to do, trying to take you out of your walk, because what the enemy is looking at, and through your family members, your enemy is looking at your past, and they don't believe that you're who God says you are. But you know what I put on my page? I'm who God said I am, and that's all it is. I'm not here to please anybody. I'm who God said I am, and I'm living to please him. That is my destiny. My destiny is to please God. I'm not here trying to get rich. I'm not here trying to get big this or big that. I'm here trying to please God, wanting to please God in what I do so that somebody else will say, look, I want to be like that preacher. I want to be like that teacher because I see where he came from. And if God can do it for him, he'll do it for me. That's all. Don't let people move you from your stance. Yes, you did this, you did that. Praise God. But God was with you all the while. No need to go back. And don't allow people to cause you to keep looking back over your shoulders. There's nothing over your shoulders. Everything on your shoulders you've already used, messed up, jacked up with. It's already gone. It's not on you now. Whatever's in front of you is where you're going after. Go forward.
and go forward with God. Yeah, you may have to stop home a couple of times to take care of the girls, but they're your girls. God gave them to you. And the Bible said that they that who get children, it's a heritage of God. It's a gift of God. It's a blessing. And some people, I say, you know, it's amazing some people don't take care of their kids. And they got people today that are crying out to doing everything. My God, they're using all types of, spending all types of money trying to have one child, just one. If they get one, it was just like they was a billionaire. They got people that are spending money, trying to buy kids, adopt kids. And you have folk that have kids and don't want to take care of the kids. You know, God see that stuff too. God see that stuff. And don't think that when God put kids in our way, Sharita, and we don't take care of them, that we ain't going to answer on that. We're going to answer on that because God said, I give you that. I give you that responsibility. And I wouldn't have given you that responsibility if I didn't think you can take care of them. But now you say you don't want to. And God said, you said that I've really asked God many times to forgive me for when I was in my mess. You know, Cole, you know how we were when we were in a mess. We didn't think about the kids. I didn't think about mine because I was thinking about getting my next fix, getting my next drink, getting my next high. But I thank God that now that I'm straight, I'm doing everything that I can for them. And one of the greatest things that I'm doing for them is prayer. I'm praying for them. I mean, I'm praying for them. And my daughter here with me now, she's been clean for some time now. She's not drinking. She's not smoking. And that's a blessing. You know, that's a blessing to see her going through her withdrawals and all that stuff when she is standing firm. You know, she ain't got all the P's and Q's together because you still get agitated. And that's noted because when somebody's being freed up from something that had control over them for a while, they get mad and they say stuff that they shouldn't say sometimes. But you know that even that should pass too. Even that's going to pass because God is on the job. And when God's on the job is going to be complete. Because he said, he that begin a work, and you is faithful to complete it, even unto the end. He is going to complete it. But the thing with us is that once God get in your mess, you got to allow God to do it. Allow God to fix it. You know, we allow God to come in. When God comes, then we say, okay, God, you just coming so far, but I'm not going to let you go any further. I don't want you to fix anything else because over here, I'm not finished over here yet. I still got to mess up a little bit more. And God said, no, you don't have to. Because I'm on the job with you. Let me work it out for you. Trust me. And we said, no, Lord, I don't want to go that way anymore. Today is a day of invitation. If you haven't heard anything else, hear what the woman says. Don't walk around acting like you don't know. Because the invitation only comes around one time. And if you miss it, you might not see it again. Only one time. And God is saying to us today, this is your day of invitation. A day for you to make a decision that, Lord, I'm not going to live like this any longer. I hear your voice. And, Lord, I've been doing so much messed up stuff. I've been living my life doing so much messed up stuff, and I've been going this way and going that way. You ain't got to tell the preacher. Because some people think that the only way you can be free is if you go tell the preacher. You ain't got to tell the preacher. Sometimes that's the worst thing you can do. Sometimes, I know you don't want to hear this, but sometimes that's the worst thing you can do. Because when the preacher tells his wife, or she tells her husband tells his friend, and she tells her friend, and they keep going wrong in the church, and from that church to another church to another church, and when you show up, people start rolling their eyes at you because they know your business. No, go tell God. Go tell God. Go to the foot of the cross and the foot of the altar and just confess to God. Tell God what you've been doing wrong. He already know. But tell him so you can make the devil mad. Tell him so you make the devil mad. And say, Lord, help me in this area of my life. I want to walk in the invitation that I have. I had this invitation for so long, Lord, and I haven't been really using it. I just had it in my hand. I haven't really even opened the invitation. I had the invitation. I received the invitation. But I haven't been walking with it, Lord. I haven't been walking according to the invitation. Lord, show me how to walk according to this invitation so that I can come through the door. and be welcome. You know, sometimes folk can, oh, my God, folk can have the invitation in their hand, evangelist, and get to the door, and then when they get to the door, the host says, how do you get an invitation? That's a bad thing. Oh, my God, Jesus said it. Go back in Matthew. Oh, my God. Jesus said it. When the pastors and the leaders came before him and said that, then we cast out demons, and then we do this and heal the sick in your name. And what he says, depart from me. That they had an invitation. They come. And he said, depart from me. I'd like to know you. That's a bad feeling. When you get to the banquet and the host tell you, you can't come and you can smell all that fried chicken inside there and then barbecue spare ribs. And you can smell that they got some shrimp because you can smell the seafood. And if you're like me, I love scallops. So I can smell them scallops from a mile away. And them clams, them big clams. I said, Lord, geez, I can smell the clams. And all of a sudden they tell you, they got some fried haddock. And they tell you, oh, Lord, you can't come in. They say, sir, you can't come in. Lady, you can't come in. What a bad thing to get to Jesus. And you could see a crumb that was over there, had your name on it. And all of a sudden they say, no, you can't read that crumb because the invitation has been erased. My God, my God, my God. Something to think about. I'm telling you, it made me think. Well, I'm all back in the line. I have the evangelist coming and pray for the people on the line. And after that, we're going to get out of here. Pray for Kiet, pray for Keisha, pray for Evangelist Baxter, pray for Christina, pray for the lady that just dropped off the line not too long ago, Carmen. Pray for whoever God put on your mind, woman of God, and then we're going to close the line. Because the people not saying anything. A lot of people on the line, but they're not saying anything. The main thing, we got the word in. Go ahead.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel over all of our lives, God. In the name of Jesus. And Jesus, we know that you are the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus, we know that you are a divine teacher and a soul winner. Somebody needs you for healing this morning. Somebody needs you for a comforter this morning. Somebody is thirsty this morning. They need a new heart, a new drink from the fountain. Somebody needs you for strength this morning, Jesus. Lord, we know that you are the light of this world, God. And we say thank you. But we know, God, that you are the resurrection and the life. And, Father, we just say thank you for being King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus, you are the great I am. And, Lord, we just say thank you for providing for us and taking care of us and meeting all of our needs. And for some of us, Jesus, you have met beyond our expectations. You have allowed us to see great things, and greater things shall come. And Lord, we just want to say thank you, knowing that in our hearts, Jesus, that these things, you said, signs and wonders will follow those that love you, those that are doing the works of you, Jesus. And Jesus, you said that you will give us a heart of flesh. We thank you for everybody on this line this morning who is listening. For those who are saved and unsaved, who is listening by internet, on this line of Blog Talk Radio, I'm speaking to the saved and the unsaved now in the name of Jesus, that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Lord, we just want to say thank you, God. Thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord, that you've
transformed them in their minds and in their hearts, God. There's somebody, God, in this morning that's backsliding. And they don't know which way to go and which way to turn. But, Jesus, I'm asking that you just speak a gentle, kind word into their spirit, into their heart. And we pray, God, that we have lifted you up this morning, that men will be drawn to you. And we thank you, Jesus, because you said, Jesus, you are the great intercessor. And you said that you would mediate between God and us. And you said that if it's anything that we have need of, to come to you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
On our behalf. And we know that you're the great, Creator. And we thank you, Jesus. And that's why we come now to you, Jesus, that you may go to the Father on our behalf. Thank you for Sister Cherique this morning, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you that heaven is, oh God, we just thank you right now, oh God, that you are a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer, that she don't have to carry this weight on her own, God. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your way, Lord. And we just say thank you, God.
Lord, yes.
Here, glorifying you in her voice, oh God. But we want to know, God,
Jesus.
We just say thank you. The heavens open up, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for
thank
the angels
Lord.
That have a flying around, Sister Cherique, this morning, God. In the name of Jesus, that she shall stand on the word of God. That she shall know that it is you, God, that created her and not herself.
Yes, yes,
and Lord,
yes,
we just
yes,
want to
yes,
say
yes,
thank
yes.
you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. The battle is not over. And now, God, we just allow her to know in her spirit this morning that that battle belongs to you, God. And she'll just stand that the battle is already won in the name of Jesus.
Lord.
Right now, God, the battle has already been won for her. And for that, God, we say thank you right now, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless, God. Continue to bless her, God, so that she won't lose her focus, God. Lord, we know that she's in search of a home and everything, God. But, Lord, we just say thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We
thank
know
you,
that
Jesus.
Distractions will come. Temptations will come. Trials and tribulations will come, God. But
yes, she's Lord.
Out of God, and I'm asking you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we know that you're with her, that you keep her protected, that you keep her surrounded with positive people, God, with the
yes,
people
Jesus.
Of wisdom, God, in the name of
thank
Jesus,
the Lord.
That she will
thank
grow
the Lord.
With
thank
them,
the Lord.
So that
thank
she will
Lord.
Grow in knowledge and understanding and know that it is you, God, that you are a keeper, God, you are a keeper, Father, in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we say thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord
we say
Jesus.
Thank you. Lord, we ask you to bless us, Akeisha, this morning.
Yes, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus, protect them, oh
yes,
God.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, that their way and their walk of life, oh God, that they will acknowledge you first in all things and that you will direct their path, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask that you open up the doors of prosperity, the doors of hope in their life, oh God. Give them an increase, oh God, a financial breakthrough, oh Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that shall come to them, oh God. And we say thank you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for doing great things in their lives, God. And Lord, we just thank you. Right now, we ask that you bless their families, bless their home, God. Deaconess Keith's husband, Father. We just ask you to bless their children, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that they'll come to you as one. That there will be no division amongst them, God. That you will bring their family closer and closer together, God. That when people see them, they know that it's you, God. That they won't have to say a word, but they'll know that it's you that is the bond between them. That the bond is Jesus. And we want to say thank you, God. There is a bond of Gilead, and he rests, ruling and abide with us. And we say thank
yes,
you, Lord.
Lord.
And we just always thank you for the favor that you have over Evangelist Baxter. And over the apostle and elect Lady Nancy's calendar this morning, God. We thank you for the favor over Sister Christina this morning, God. We thank you for favor this morning. We know, God, that
yes,
when we are
yes,
victorious
yes,
in
yes,
you,
yes.
that the favor of God is over our lives this morning. And, Lord, we just say thank you. We say thank you now, God, that the blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan.
Lord,
the
blood,
blood
the blood,
of Jesus
the blood.
Is against you, Satan. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus over our life this morning,
Jesus.
God. We
yes,
say
yes,
thank
yes,
you
yes, yes,
right
yes.
now, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for recompense, Father. In the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just say thank you, God, that you allowed us to come through and that you didn't turn us over to a reprobate mind. Lord, we say thank you for Resurrection Power Church in Christ. Thank you for our pastors, our teachers, and our leaders. Bless our pastor being and his wife, First Lady, Elect Lady Nancy Carrie being this morning, God. We say thank you this morning, God. We ask you to bless them this morning. Bless them as they go through their distress, their time, God. We say thank you right now, God. For you keep being a shelter all around them, keeping them, God, keeping them and holding them in the palm of your hand. Lord, we say thank you for the Hill family this morning. We ask that you cover them in the time of their bereavement, oh God. In the name of Jesus, you said you'll be a comforter to us, Father, concerning those who are asleep. And Lord, we know that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And Lord, we say thank you right now, God. in the name of Jesus. At the sound of the trump of the archangel, God, we say thank you. We say yes to you, dear God, and yes to you, Wayne. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and the praise in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As we depart from this line, but not from your presence, we say yes, God. We say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We have a yes, Lord, in our praise, God. And we give you the glory, the honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you so much, Evangelist. We thank you for the word. We thank all those that are online, even those that were not available and able to say a word because of maybe on their job or so on. But we thank God for everyone that's on the line. We know that God is doing great things in us and through us. We know that the word is alive in us, and nobody can tell us different. Can't tell me different. I know the word of God is alive, and we bless the Lord for it, because I'm nothing without the word. We are nothing without the word. We just bless the Lord. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for all that you have done today, all that you are doing and all that you're going to do. We ask you, O God, even for tonight, O God, in our service, that you would touch the man of God, the men of God, the women of God, and God, you would release through there from in the deeper being, oh God, your word, oh God, that your word will flow out tonight like fire, oh God, that your word will be a consuming fire, oh God. It would be a light in this place, in our sanctuary, oh God, the sanctuary of our hearts, oh God. Even as the apostle comes in from South Carolina, Lord Jesus, and he ministered tonight and tomorrow night and Sunday, Lord, we pray to God that there will be a river of impartation, oh God, an outflowing of the glory, oh God, will flow through this house, oh God, that many people will come out to receive, oh God, and they will be prepared to receive, oh God, and Lord, you will speak to us, oh God. We ask that you touch our local bishop, touch the bishop in Washington, D.C., touch all the men and women of God that are serving you with a pure heart, oh God, and even those that have a mind to serve, oh God, quicken them in their spirit, oh God, quicken them, oh God. We ask you, oh God, to let healing resonate in this house on tonight, oh God. There's many people sick, oh God. Touch Sister Lynette in the hospital, oh God, the nursing home, oh God. God, begin to move in her body. God, heal her skin, oh God. Lord, she's suffering so badly, but God, she's still ministering to everybody that she can say a word to. Lord, I'm in this very church right now, church setting, because of who you are in her, oh God, that she shared with Nancy that about her bishop and caused me, because if you can speak about somebody that well, even you're sick, I had to go see this man she was talking about. And Lord, you placed me there for this season. Lord, we pray that even right now, God, that your spirit is moving in this place, oh God, not by man and not by woman, but it's moving by the power of God, the spirit of God. It is moving in the place. And Lord, we just thank you, even as we leave this line, but not your presence. Lord, as we separate from this line, God, but not from your presence. We ask you, oh God, that you would watch between me and thee, between me and your brothers, my brothers and sisters. We ask your children, oh God. We pray that, Father God, that your word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, oh God, that we will not walk in a crooked place, oh God, in a dark place, but we'll walk in a place that's lit up by your spirit, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you touch our intellects today, oh God, that, Lord, that we'll rebuke the spirit of confusion, oh God. We'll not look down, we'll not look up. But, God, we'll keep our eyes on you. We'll keep looking straight forward where you are, God. We'll keep going down that straight and narrow path, oh God. Lord, we know that the path of destruction is very wide, oh God, but the path to eternity is narrow. Lord, we ask you to help us to make it in that path, oh God. God, we want to wear our crown that the evangelist talked about this morning in the book of Revelation. Lord, we want to wear our crown, oh God. We don't want you to say depart from us that you didn't know us, oh God, but we want, God, that you to open your arms. And just like the prodigal father, we want you to welcome us in your arms, oh God. Lord, help us to do the things that are pleasing to you. Lord, forgive us for every mistake we have made, even the ones that we're going to make, oh God, not knowing, oh God. We ask you to forgive us in advance, oh God. We ask you to strengthen us in the areas of our life that we are weak, God. Lord, in the areas that we are strong, Father, we ask you to make us even stronger, Lord God.
Lord, send the angels to minister to us when we are feeling weak and we're feeling down, depressed, and we're feeling oppressed, oh God, and we're feeling frustrated, Lord. Send the angels to minister to us, the ones you gave charge over us, oh God. Send them to minister to us, oh God, that we will not fall short of the glory, oh God, but we'll press on to be in the glory of you, oh God. We ask you, O God, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember that God loves you. I love you, and Jesus is the only way. I want to speak the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. When I say Israel, I'm still talking about Jacob because his name was transferred from Jacob to Israel. So we say Jacob for so those that don't know, then we say Israel for those that know. So we want to speak the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, over this line, over all those that can hear me, even those that will hear after we go off the line. Father, we ask you to continue to bless us. Excuse me, continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Lord Jesus, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Father, we ask that you will continue to make us the head and not the tail. Continue to set us above and not beneath, O God. Lord, make us the lenders and not the borrowers, O God. We pray, O God, for blessings to come in so that we can be a blessing, O God. Lord, you said that people will pour into our bosom. Good measure. Shaken together and running over shall men pour into our bosoms, oh God. But first you said we got to give and it shall be given unto us. Lord, I pray that you would touch the hearts of the people of God that they would give. Lord, to this work that we are doing, Lord, we are 95,560 something right now, and we are climbing up. We are climbing up to 96,000. Lord, we ask you, O God, to continue, O God, to cause people to hit the line and go on and listen. Not just hit the line, but go on and listen and hear what this says the Lord through your servants, through your children, O God. Tell somebody today that God loved them. I know you may be upset because of what they have done to you. It is good to tell your sisters and brothers that you love them, but it's even better when you tell somebody that you know that mistreated you, abused you, took advantage of you, didn't pay you back your money, borrow you your money, said they will pay you back. You need that money to pay your mortgage, to pay your car note, to pay a doctor bill. They said they would have it back on time, but they didn't. It's great when you can still tell them that you love them with the love of Jesus, that you can look beyond their faults and see their needs. God honors that. Don't always think about hurting somebody and getting back, getting even, because you never get even. You only get worse, because you get worse in your spirit. You don't get even. You get deeper into sin, deeper into jealousy, into conspiracy. And God said, no, just share love. Love will cover everything that has affected you, affected us. Love, 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 love. You have to love people in spite of how they treat you, how they talk about you, how they misuse you, how they abuse you, how they abuse us. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. This is the command of God. Evangelist, we thank you for you. We thank you for your love often. Evangelist Baxter, we want to thank you for your love often. Every little bit help, we thank God for your help. You know, we still have to take some time to ride up with you for you to look for your vehicle. We want you to get your license and everything in order. Because the money is there, the money is there. The money is there at the car dealership, you know, for you to get your vehicle. We thank God, we thank God. We thank God that all is well with Keisha, with her mother. Should we to keep praying for your mother? I hear the Spirit saying to tell you, keep praying for your mother. Your mother has not come up from the place she's been. She's still locked. She's a good woman. Listen to me. Don't get me wrong. She's a good woman. She got good intentions. But your intentions don't do what God wants them. You have to put your intention into action. A lot of people have good intentions to bless you. They got in good intention to go to church, but you don't show them. Oh, yeah, I want to go to church, but they don't show up. They have good intention. And God says, keep praying for her, because you have to pray her out from a place that she's been. Your mother has been hurting for a long time. I want to tell you this. You don't know this. I don't know your mother that well. But I know what I hear by the Spirit. Your mother has been hurting for a very long time spiritually. She's been hurting in her spirit. She don't tell people a lot of things. I could prophesy to her and she'll cry like a baby. Because she don't tell people a lot of things that she had to deal with that a lot of people don't know about. And she's still locked in that prison. She has to release herself. When she releases herself, she'll be free to really give God the glory. And you have to pray. You don't got to tell her anything about it. You just got to pray for her that God would touch her and help her to release herself. She got the key. And the key is Jesus Christ. She just got to use the key to set herself free. You know, we are our greatest prisoners. Do you know that? I was locked in prison for 25 years. Spiritual prison for 25 years. And when I realized that I had the key and the key was Jesus, I could unlock the lock and set myself free. And now I'm free. You don't know that? When you're running every way, it's not till you find Jesus, and Jesus is the key to your freedom. The Bible says, who the Son set free is free indeed. So when you do find Jesus, then you set yourself free. You'll be set free. Jesus gives you the key to set yourself free. Where's the key? The Word of God. He gives you the key to set yourself free. And it sets you free. You don't have to go back in that whole house. You don't got to go in that crack house. You don't got to go to that marijuana house. You don't got to go to the alcoholic house. You don't got to go do the stuff you've been doing any longer. Because why? You're free. Some folks still going to see you as in prison. But you got to see yourself free. You can't allow them to speak the way, you know. I know you, Brother Dave. You know me well. If you want to keep talking that Dave, go find him because he don't live here anymore. He's not here any longer. I go to watch them folks come tell me, oh, I hear you're the preacher. I know you're a preacher. I remember. I said, stop right there. Because if you want to talk to that fellow, you got to go look for him because he's not here. He got here at all. This is a totally different person. You got to shut down. I told you that yesterday. You got to shut people down. And cast that thing out of your head of who you used to be or what you used to do and all that stuff. Cast that thing down. Oh, you went to sleep with this body. You slept with that body. You eat this. You stole this. You cussed this. Oh, shut that thing down. I'm not sleeping with them anymore. I'm not stealing anymore. I'm not cussing anymore. Shut that thing down so you can walk in victory. We still allow them old thoughts from the past to have dominion over our mind, our old mistakes. Man leave you and gone. Woman leave you and gone. Forget about they gone. Look for something that put yourself in position for somebody to see you, that God have searching to find you if you're single. If you're married, get close to your husband, get close to your wife. Look beyond their faults and see what they need. You may have just what your wife needs. You may have just what your husband needs. But you get so stuck up in yourself that you won't give it to them. And now you have two lost people trying to get things together. Something to think about. I love you guys so much. Have a blessed day. I'm going to get out of here. The dog is coming telling me something, so I'm going to get out here and take the dog out for a walk, and I'll see you all, if Kian is coming on tomorrow. If not, we'll see what God does. Maybe I'll bring a word tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see. But check the line at 12 o'clock tomorrow, because I'll be in prayer tomorrow morning, first thing from 9:30 to 12. And from 9:30 to 12, and then at 12 o'clock, from 9:30 to 11:30, and at 12 o'clock, we should be coming on. So we look forward to seeing you on the line on tomorrow. Have a blessed day. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God, okay? Whatever you do, make sure God gets some glory out of it. Reach out your hand of compassion to somebody today. You might be driving down the street. You have $10 in your pocket. You see a homeless man. Go over. Don't even tell him. Go over to McDonald's and buy him a sandwich and a soda or milk and come back and give them to him. And tell him, say, the Lord just told me to give this to you. Can I pray with you? Don't just give them something to eat, but give them some spiritual food. Say, can I pray with you? And pray with them. And guess what? Do you know God will change your life? I put a post on my page. I think I got that from Christina sometime back. With the man, the pastor, become dressed himself like a homeless man and had some beard. Put up some false beard on his, you know, stick the beard on his face, and it looked really bad, and let the beard be very bad. all kind of knots and stuff in the beard, trash, and go to the church. And he was the one that was going to be the pastor of the church. And he just wanted to see how the people react. And the people in the church just turned their nose up at him. He had dirty clothes like a street person. And when they introduced the new pastor, the elders that was going to introduce him know who he was, because he had already told them, they had already conferred with each other how he was going to come to the church. And the very people that in the church that were supposed to be brothers and sisters in church were turning their nose up at him. And why he come in the church, he was Caucasian. And when he come in the church, why he come in the church smelling and looking like that. And when he got up and started to preach, people's church started to cry. They couldn't say nothing. Because conviction take place. You know what happened with us? We are too judgmental in our spirit. If it don't look like a duck, we say it's not a duck. But we say if it crack like a duck and it walk like a duck, it's got to be a duck. Be careful the people that you turn down, the people that you turn your back on, because it's the very ones that God's going to use, that God has put in position to bless you. It's the very ones that God has put in your life to speak a word of encouragement in your life, a word to bring you from where you are to where you need to be. Because guess what? When God comes down again from heaven, he's come down to receive his people, receive his children. But he's not coming down again to set you free. He already did that at the cross. He's sending a word through his servants, through his sons and through his daughters, by his spirit, to encourage us to do what we need to do. We need to receive the word of God. And we need to make a conscious decision that we are going to take the invitation and we're going to live that, so that when we get to the banquet and we show our invitation, we'll be able to enter in. Something to think about. Don't come there with your invitation and then the host tell you, you're not welcome because of the way you've been living. Because remember, no sin can enter into heaven. Remember this, no sin. Go back and read the book of Revelation. That's why the Bible always said, Jesus knew the end before the beginning. No sin can enter into heaven. So think about it. We may be fooling each other, but we're not fooling Jesus. We're not fooling God. I am finished. I'm going out of here, and I look forward to seeing you all that can come to church tonight. In church, we're going to have a grand time celebrating Jesus tonight. Okay? Bye-bye. Have a blessed day. I am gone.